Oh, I see. This is the same as this.
Right.
No, this is something.
So you did this. You did this twice. Isn't it? There's two mem's ions. One is a separate mem's
ion.
Right. All
right.
Okay. So this is.
So what is there? I'm confused because I got two different things that I gave
you. Okay, just see if you have mem vav, mem zayin, and mem ches. And if you don't,
mem zayin, mem vav, and what's the last one?
It should be mem chet. You don't have a page mem chet?
Give me that back.
Mem Vav is done twice. And Mem Chet, I got you. Okay.
This is the right way. This is all right. 1, 2, and then.
Anyway, this is. You got the.
We're going to start with a Mishnah in Masechta Rosh Hashanah, which makes sense that we're learning Rosh Hashanah now. You know, we have 3 weeks till Rosh Hashanah. Am I correct?
Well, time flies.
Seems, the moon looked like a half circle.
Okay.
That's a quarter of a month.
Okay, that's good. So we're about a quarter of a month in. And the Mishnah says the following: Seder Brachos. Now, the subject of this Mishnah is the Musaf service of Rosh Hashanah. Does anybody know what's unique about the Musaf service of Rosh Hashanah?
It's long. It's 9.
It's very long.
It's the longest one.
Right, because it has 3 extra brachos that only exist on Rosh Hashanah. What are those called?
Malchiot, Zichronot, and Shofar.
Excellent. Malchiot, Zichronot, and
Shofar. I also went to Rambam. They told me that there.
Good. Excellent. So Seder HaBrachos, what's the Seder? Omer, we start with Avos. Right, that ends
so
with.
Where are we starting now? We're
on Mem Vav.
Mem Vav.
The first paragraph on Mem Vav.
Tanan.
Right, Tanan means we're quoting a Mishnah, correct? Mm-hmm. So the Mishnah says, Seder Brachos, Omer Avos. Avos is the first bracha, as you know, that ends with Magen Avram. And then we have what's called Gvuros, that's Brachat Hashem Mechayim Mesim. And then we have Kedushas Hashem, which during the rest of the year would be Hakel HaKadosh. This night it's going to be HaMelech HaKadosh. And in fact, we're going to use HaMelech HaKadosh for 10 days, culminating in Yom Kippur. That's the Aser Semei Tshuva. Now, where do we place Malchios? We have to integrate Malchios into one of the other brachas. I'll explain why that's so in just a minute. Now, according to the first opinion, which is Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, Kolel Malchios Imahem, we should integrate Malchios into Kedushas Hashem. The Eino Tokea, but we don't blow the shofar at that particular moment. Kedushas Hayom, the Tokea. Then we recite Kedushas Hayom, and then we blow the shofar. Zichronos v'tokeya, v'yomer avoda v'oda u'birchas kodesh. So according to Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, how do we end up with 9 brachos? Now keep in mind, we're adding 3 brachos, correct? And if we're adding 3 brachos to a Shmon Esrei that has how many brachos? What is every musaf for every yontif has how many brachos? Do we know? What's the magic of 7?
Now, if we're adding 3 and 1.
Right, and if we're adding 3, then the number should be
10. But we have 9.
But for some reason, Chazal understood that the magic number is 9. We'll see why. What's the significance of 9. So in order to achieve our goal of, on the one hand, maintaining the 7 brachos of any Musaf service, that's the basic framework of any Musaf, on the other hand, we want to add 3 brachos, how do we end up with 9 unless we integrate 1 bracha into another bracha? We have to merge them into one. So Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri says, let's take Kedushas Hashem and let's open it up to include Malchios in it.
Which makes sense. You sing a Melech HaKadosh, you do Malchios in Melech HaKadosh.
Correct, exactly. And not only that, you could even say more than that, Ira. If you look at every single Shmon Esrei, for example, let's forget about Musa for a moment. Let's talk about Meiriv. Right? So it's Leil Rosh Hashanah. And what do we have? In Leil Rosh Hashanah, there's a whole section that's added to Kedushas Hashem. Uvechein tein pachtecha, uvechein tein kavod, uvechein tzadikim yirv yismachu, v'simloch ato Hashem levadecha, and it finally culminates with Baruch ato Hashem, HaMelech HaKadosh. So, in a sense, Rabbi Yochanan Nuri hasn't discovered the wheel here, because we've already expanded the Kedushas Hashem in every single Shmon Esrei. It's not unique to Musaf. Okay, so that's going to be Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. Again, so let's just summarize. Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri says we've got to collapse 10 brachas into 9 brachas. The magic number is 9. How do we do so? Well, we're going to take Malchus and we're going to merge it with another bracha. Which bracha is the right candidate to accept, to receive Malchus? Kedushas Hashem. Then we have Rabbi Akiva. Amalo Rabbi Akiva, im eino tokea lemalchios lama hu mazkir. Now, let's follow this. After each one of the three, that's Malchios, Zichronos, and Shofars, we blow the Shofar. Okay, we have to know why, but we blow the Shofar. Some, you should know that some have the meaning of blowing it even during what we call the Shtil Shmonas, or the Silent Shmonas, but everybody blows it during the Chazor Sashats. That's universally accepted. As far as the Shtil Shmonas, or the Silent Shmonas, that's totally a minhag. I was brought up with the meaning that you do blow during the Silent Shmonas, but in my father's shul in Flatbush in Brooklyn, there was a rebellion. And the people said we can't do it, so my father changed the minhag, and they left out Tekiyah Shofar during the Shtil Shmonas. But not just Sfaradim, but it's also Nusach Sfarad, meaning Hasidim. Yeah, so it's not just Edotah Mizrah. Now, notice that according to Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, we're going to blow the Shofar, but not after Malchus, because Malchus was integrated into Kedushas Hashem, and apparently there's no possibility of blowing Shofar. So Rabbi Akiva stands up and he objects, if you're not going to blow Shofar after Malchus because you've integrated into Kedushas Hashem, you must be doing something wrong.
Why can't you blow Shofar?
We don't know why. But whatever the reason is, we just bounced off Shofar from Malchus.
My guess would be that the first three brachas are sort of on a higher level of kavana, and that might be like a hefsa.
Right, something along that line. We're going to use a different term, Ira. We're going to use the term bakasha instead of kavana. The first three brachos form a unit which is called Shevach, and that unit is hermetically sealed. It cannot, there's no room to add Bakasha within those three. But be that as it may, Rabbi Akiva is up in arms. He says, Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, if you can't blow the Shofar after Malchus, then you're doing something wrong. And therefore, Rabbi Akiva suggests a different option. Ella Omer Avos Gvurus Ukdush Hashem, leave Kedush Hashem as is. Where are you going to integrate Malchus to collapse it from 10 to 9 brachas? Kol El Malchios in Kedush Hashayom. Right, Kedush Hashayom, if you remember, is the middle bracha, that's the long bracha. Like, for example, here it starts with Atav Chatonim Kol Amim, Batitim Lan Hashem Lekene Biavas Yom this, and then finally with Elokene Vakevasenu, and it culminates with the bracha. Makadosh Yisrael, whatever the day is, in this case Yom HaZikaron, so that Kedushas Hayom, says Rabbi Akiva, is the appropriate place, the bracha that can receive Malchus. And therefore what we could do is, after we complete Kedushas Hayom, which has within it Malchios, V'tokea, and we can blow. And that's exactly our minhag. For example, I have a maaser here, and we paskin like Rabbi Akiva. So if you take a look at the Musaf service Rosh Hashanah, you'll see the following. That we start with Avos, and then we go to Gvuros, and after that we have the Bechains, the three of Bechains, then we have a Simloch, and finally Mekadei HaMelech HaKadosh, which is Kedushas Hashem. Then we start Kedushas Hayom with Atav HaChartanu, Vatitei Lanu Hashem Elokeinu, and then we start the Musaf service with Mipnei Chatoeinu, which is going to lead us to Malchus, which begins with Oleinu L'Shabeach. So we reflect the Shita of Rabbi Akiva, and we integrate Malchus into the Kedushas Hayom. Says Rabbi Akiva, if Malchus is in Kedushas Hayom, now we're free to do what? To blow the Shofar. V'tokea. Zichronos v'tokea. Shofros v'tokea. And then V'yomer Avoda, V'oda u'birchas Kohen. The Gemara says the following. Until now we learned the Mishnah. And now the Gemara adds a comment. Omar lo Rabbi Akiva im eino tokea lemalchios lama hu mazkir. If you can't blow the shofar at the end of Malchios, according to you, Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, and you admit that you can't blow the shofar, then just drop Malchios. Well, that doesn't make any sense. Lama hu mazkir? What kind of question is he asking? Rachmana Omar idka. The Torah says that we have to recite Malchios. Very interesting phrase here. By the way, the Gemara's language would indicate that Malchios is a Doraisa requirement. Yeah. Ella, but we have to reformulate Rabbi Akiva's argument. What was Rabbi Akiva's argument? Elulama Eser. Why do you recite 10 verses? You know that each one of these three sections is made up of 10 verses. The first three verses come from Ksuvim, the next three from Nevi'im, and then Torah, Ksuvim, and Nevi'im. The first three verses come from Torah, the next three from Ksuvim, and then they go back to Nevi'im. And then finally, the last pasuk comes from the Torah itself. So there are 10 psuki. So Yekiva says, according to you, Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, why should we be reciting 10 psukim? We should be reciting only 9 psukim. Why? Hold the ish today, since you're dropping the shofar, you should also reduce the 10 to 9. Dan, can I trouble you for that water over there? I got very thirsty. Thank you so much. So what's going on here? The whole sugya makes no sense. Rabbi Akiva is saying, "Im eino tokeh lomu maskir," and the Gemara says that what he means by lomu maskir is not that you should drop malchus, but why should you recite 10 psukim in malchus? You should only have 9 psukim in malchus. What does that mean? The 10th pasuk is no different than the other 9 psukim. So why should we drop the 10th pasuk? And on the other hand, we don't understand Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, who integrates Malchus and Kedush Hashem, and therefore he drops the shofar. Why is he dropping the shofar? I mean, you followed Malchus with shofar, did you not? The whole purpose of Malchus Zichronus to Shofar is Ikar Atkios Hemishum Amiras Psuki Malchus Zichronus to Shofar. There's a package deal. We recite the Psukim of Malchus and we blow the shofar. And the same is true for Zichronus and Shofar. So why does Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri drop the shofar after Kedushas Hashem of Malchus? So we have two basic questions here in the sugya. Number one is, why does Rabbi Akiva attack Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri and insist that we reduce the amount of psukim from 10 down to 9? And number two, why does Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, by integrating Malchus into Kedush Hashem, he's forced to the position that we have to drop the shofar? Okay then? So we're ready to move on. Let me just close the door here,
so that we get a little bit more of an ability to
concentrate. Okay. Now, Malchus Zichronos L'Shofros, each respectively, can be divided into three sections. The first section is a Hakdama, is an introduction. There's going to be an introduction to Malchus, and the same is true for Zichronos and Shofros. What is the introduction to Malchus? It's Oleinu L'Shabeach. Oleinu Shabeach declares Hashem is Melech. He is the king. In Zichronos, the entire introduction is about divine providence, Hashgachas Hashem, that God remembers all the creation. In Shofros, the introduction is about Gilui Shechina B'Shofar. That means God will reveal Himself with the Shofar. So let's just go through, we're not going to go through all the psukim in Malchus, Zichronos, and Shofros, but let's just look at the introduction. The introduction says, I'll give you this machzor here. I don't need it. Here, take a look. Oleinu Shabeach, and then we speak about God as the king. Anachnu korim mishtachvim, we bow down in front of the king. And basically, this is a declaration of God's kingship. Fine. Now let's fast forward to Zichronos. Ata zocher maisa olam. Right, you remember all the deeds of all your creatures. Poke kol yitzuri kedim, recall all the creatures, and you know all the secrets of the universe. And then finally, we fast forward to Shofros, and the introduction is ata niglesa, that every time you reveal yourself with the shofar. For example, at the time of Matan Torah, there was a shofar that blew, b'kolos ubrakim. At the time of Mashiach, God is going to reveal Himself again. There'll be a blowing of the shofar. And this is a recurrent theme, that whenever God reveals Himself, there'll be a blowing of the shofar. So Rav Soloveitchik says that in each of these three tefillos we have an introduction. And then we have the middle section of the bracha. And that middle section means we recite 10 psukim. 10 psukim for Malchus, 10 for Zechronos, and 10 for Shofros. And then finally we have the third section, which is the conclusion of each of these three. And that is a bakasha. That is a request from Hashem. Elokeinu ve'elokei avoseinu, in the case of Malchus, Moloch al kol ha'olam kulo v'chutzecha. May the entire universe accept your kingship. In the case of Zechronos, we have a section here of Bakosh Elokeinu ve'elokei avoseinu, Zachreinu b'zekaron tov l'fanecha. Remember us today on Rosh Hashanah for good. And finally, in the case of Shofar, Elokeinu ve'elokei avoseinu, tka b'shofar gadol l'cheruseinu, blow the shofar at the time of the ultimate revelation, at the time of Mashiach. So those are the three sections. So let's just quickly review. What are the three sections of each of Malchus, Zechronos, and Shofar? First, we have an introduction, in which we make a statement about Malchus, Zechronos, and Shofros. Then we have 10 psukim. And finally, we have a bakasha at the end of each of these three sections. Why are the psukim quoted? What is the function or the purpose of these 10 psukim? So the Rav says something very revolutionary here. And that is that we need proof. We need a proof for whatever theological principle we have formulated in the introduction. For example, in the case of Malchus, we've said that Hashem is the Melech. We're going to quote Torah, Nevi'im, and Ksuvim. And those three parts or disciplines of Tanakh are going to be invoked as proof that God is the Melech. The same is going to be true for Zechronos. We're going to make a statement that God, in his providence, he supervises man's actions. There's no action of man that goes unheeded. And that we're going to prove from Psukim, from Torah, Nevi'im, and Ksuvim. The same is true about the introductory philosophical premise that Shofros means that God will reveal himself in the Shofar. Now, in order to prove something, you need three. Three is the magic number. Like, for example, the halacha of Chazaka. You know, if you want to establish a pattern, the halacha requires that it repeats itself thrice. So here, too, we're going to quote three psukim from Torah, three psukim from Nevi'im, three psukim from Ksuvim.
There's something that doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
According to the Rav's argument,
right,
it's like Divrei HaRav and Divrei HaTalmud. If you can prove it by psukim from the Torah, why would you need it like Ksuvim, you know, and Nevi'im? I mean, the Torah has a higher level of Kedusha and is a closer revelation of God's direct word. So right, once you've proven it from the Torah, why would you need anything else? I mean, if it's for proof.
He says, Ein lecha, let's read his language, he says, right?
I see his point about, you know, you prove it by going back to the source.
Right.
I'm just curious, like, once, if you read it in the Torah, it says that, you know, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. Okay, that, you know,
That's ample proof.
I mean,
but the answer is that every one of these three divisions, whether it's Torah, Nevi'im, or Ksuvim, has its own unique discipline, its own rules and regulations, its own personality. And since we want to repeat this proof three times over, we're going to prove it from Torah, Nevi'im, and Ksuvim.
In general, though, you opened up a question that I assume that with the background of my mind that there's a higher level of Kedusha for Torah, but that's a whole sugya. I don't know. I mean, I guess that's what he's...
Well,
that's
no,
I've been opening it up, the whole thing, that like the whole thing.
Because Nevuas Moshe, the Rambam says, is unique in four different ways. So the Torah itself, which is Nevuas Moshe, oh, how are you? Mazel Tov.
Mazel Tov.
Yeah, Nevuas, there's a whole thing. The Rambam has Rav Yaakov Weinberg had a whole thing about the words of Moshe. Well, God's words. Mm. Moshe lost his Bechira Chavshis in respect to what he said. Mm. He had no free will to say anything other than what God told him. And that's different than every other Navi. Just so that you could have a Navi Shechet. Moshe couldn't be a Navi Shechet. Because at some point, if there's a, the Medrash says
I'm just going to take a break.
God spoke from his throat. So there is a higher level of Kedusha for the Torah.
It's so that's the Rambam's opinion.
A lot of it's more than the Rambam. A lot of people.
Okay.
Thank you.
So we're talking, you know, for those who came late, we're talking about Malchus Zichrona Shofar. So in the Malchus, we're going to open up with a statement of faith, a declaration of faith, that God is the King of the universe. And then we're going to prove this by quoting three psukim from the Torah, three psukim from the Neviim, and three psukim from Ksuv. So Rabosai, now what's the magic number? How many psukim are we going to read in Malchus? And the same is going to be true for Zichronos and Shofros. 3 times 3 is 9. So what question do we have to ask?
Which ones?
Why 10? What's the purpose of the 10th pasuk?
Well, it goes back to the Torah, which basically is...
No, but what function? If the Rav is right, that to prove something, you need 3 verses, right? That's the proof. So what's the purpose of the 10th pasuk? So the Rav says the fine. Take a look at the paragraph in Nira Loma. What do you want to say, Dan?
No, no. Well, originally we said that we started out with 10, even though we wanted to collapse it to 9. So maybe we wanted to maintain the consistency with the original idea of 10 somehow.
Right. So, but again, we just want to focus on one question. What's the function of the 10th pasuk? Okay. So the Rav says a radical chiddush here. The 10th pasuk is totally separate from the other 9. Whereas the other 9 function as rayos, we're in the paragraph in Nira there, you see it? On the bottom left of the first 3 pages. The other 9 psukim are rayos, holchachos, to prove the original theological opening statement. The 10th pasuk belongs to the 3rd section. Do you remember we said that each Malchus and Zichronos, each are divided into 3 sections? The first section was a statement of faith. The second section was the proof text. The third section was what? Who remembers? Bakash, right? Elokeinu v'Elokeinu v'Seinu. And this Elokeinu v'Elokeinu v'Seinu, in 3 different forms, repeats itself at the end of each of the 3 sections of the Musaf. Now, why do we want to integrate a pasuk into the Bakasha? We're up to the Bakasha. You know, if the psukim are coming to prove the original statement, Nicha, I need a proof from the Tanakh. But why do I need a pasuk as part of the Bakasha? And the answer is the Rav calls it Chizuk. Chizuk means I strengthen the Bakasha by saying, fulfill this Bakasha because you promised it. And here's the promise. So we're not quoting a 10th pasuk as a proof. We're quoting it as part of our petition to God to take the original theological premise and convert it into a reality. God, you are the King of the universe. But right now, that's theoretical. That's not practical. God is not the King of the universe. You know, if you ask down south in Gaza who's the King of the universe, those bums will tell you Hamas is the King of the universe, right?
No, they'd actually say Allah.
Yeah, but what kind of Allah? The Allah of death, not the Allah of life. But in any event, what's going on over here is that if you take a look at Zichronos and Shofros, you will always find that the 10 pasuk is integrated into the paragraph that starts Elokeinu v'Elokeinu v'Seinu. For example, right now I happen to have Shofros in front of me open. So it says Elokeinu v'Elokeinu v'Seinu, Tka v'Shofar gadol l'cheru seinu. And we're asking God to reveal himself at the end of time. And then we say, Ka'amur, as the Pasuk says, Ubiyom Simchaschem, etc., etc., which is the last Pasuk of Shofros. Or if you flip backwards to Zichronos, Elokeinu v'Elokeinu v'Seinu, Zochreinu b'Zichron Tov, please remember us for good. And then, Ka'amur, V'Zachati Lachem Bris Rishonim. So the 10th Pasuk is integrated into Bakasha. In other words, you promised us, please God, we beg you, we beseech you, fulfill that promise now. Right? We want Mashiach now. The only problem is that, let's go back to Malchus. In the case of Malchus, it's a little bit more complicated because after the three psukim of Nevi'im, it immediately says, "Ubetorascha kosev leimar shma yisrael shem elkeinu shem echad elkeinu v'elkei v'seinu." So the Rav is going to claim, which you'll see on the next page in just a second.
I get it. What was?
There's an exception to the rule here in the case of Malchus. In the case of Zechronos and Shofros, you start with Elokeinu v'Elokei Aseinu, which is section 3, Roman numeral number 3 of the Bakasha, yeah. And then you quote the 10th Pasuk. Okay. Here, in the case of Malchus, the 10th Pasuk, Shema Yisrael, appears before Elokeinu v'Elokei Aseinu. It's more attached to the 9th Pasuk, which would seem that's more of a Rayan al-Chacha than it is a Bakasha.
Yeah.
So the Rav is going to say that he's going to instruct the Shliach Tzibur to take a deep breath before he says the words of Toras Chakos of Lamar, to indicate a hefsek, a pause between the 9th psukim, the 9th of the 9th psukim, and the 10th pasuk, that the 10th pasuk belongs to a whole new section. And the Rav is going to tell the Shliach Tzibur to read it in one, he's going to read it with Toras Chakos of Lamar, etc., Elokeinu v'Elokei Aseinu in one breath. But why is it that in the case of Malchus, as opposed to Zechronos and Shofros, the 10th Pasuk is not placed deliberately into the Elokeinu v'Elokei Aseinu, into the Bakasha paragraph? So for that you have to turn to the next page, which is page Mem Zayin. He says that the Ramban already notices this. The Ramban says, "Umin Haga, our tradition is Lomar Shema, that the 10th Pasuk is Shema Yisrael, V'chein b'zichronos anu omer v'zachati lechem bris rishonim u'b'shofros u'b'yom simchas k'mo'adeichem ela anu sh'anu mafsikin b'neihem l'shar psukim." We separate the 10th pasuk from the other 9. V'fi sh'aposuk nofel al lashon tefillah. Underline those words, because that last pasuk really is part of the matbeah of tefillah. The Yesh and Ishtavshu was the Omru She'enom min Aminyan Mipnesha Enom Smuchim Kmo Shema Yisrael. So the Rabban is saying that there were those who stood up and said there's a mistake over here because Shema Yisrael is not integrated into the Bakasha, into the Tefillah as it should be. So the Rav takes a stab at this as to why Chazal would have taken the Pasuk Shema Yisrael out of Elokeinu v'Elokei Aseinu. What did he say?
It wasn't there, and they took it out.
No, I don't mean it was in there. Theoretically, it was in there. You know, not chronologically, not historically, but it should have been in there. Why was it taken out? Says the Rav, "V'nira atam ki birchas malchus hi atzma birchas kedushas hayom shel Rosh Hashanah." Okay, let's try to figure out what he means by this. We recite Shmona Esrei over and over again throughout Rosh Hashanah, although our subject today is the Musaf service, but we recite Shmona Esrei, Arvis, Shacharis, Mincha. And in all these cases, the bracha ends by mentioning Melech. Baruch Ato Hashem, Melech Al Kol Ha'aretz, right? Umekadesh Yisrael, V'yom HaZikaron. So the Melech Al Kol Ha'aretz is always integrated into the Nusach HaBracha. And therefore, in Tfilas Musaf, they did the same thing. They didn't want to change the Nusach HaBracha, and therefore they wanted to introduce Malchus into the Nusach HaBracha. Because fundamentally, the Bakasha itself, the substance of the Bakasha, in every single bracha throughout the entire day of Rosh Hashanah, is Hashem become the Melech. We're asking you, and we're desiring that you become the Melech. Melech al kol ha'olam kula, correct? So we're going to do that in Malchus as well. Ikar habakasha shel Malchus shove b'chol tefil siyam v'kavu esiyum me'ein chasima b'nusach echad b'chol tefilos hayom v'nimtza al kol ponim shegam b'musaf mashakavu shema Yisrael miyad li'achar tes psukim eino mishum hemshech u'gmar shel tes psukim el kedei l'samcho miyad la'miras meloch al kol ha'olam kulo shehi bakasha shel Malchus. So let's understand what the Rav is saying. The Bakasha which concludes Malchios is the same Bakasha which concludes every single Shmon Esrei of Rosh Hashanah. That means Arvis, Shacharis, and Mincha. This paragraph, which is the finale of Malchios, is not unique to Malchios. It appears over and over again throughout the Tfilos. Every single tefillah ends with this exact identical paragraph. And if you don't believe me, we'll check it out and we'll see if that's correct. Let's take the case of Shacharis. Okay? Look how Shacharis ends. Elokeinu velokei avoseinu melech al kol ha'olam kulo bichvodecha. That's exactly the same as the end paragraph of Malchus. Elokeinu velokei avoseinu melech al kol ha'olam kulo bichvodecha. And you can go through it. It's word for word the same bakasha, which culminates in Melech al kol ha'aretz mekadesh Yisrael v'yom hazikaron. Right? Melech al kol ha'aretz mekadesh Yisrael v'yom hazikaron, over and over and over again. So basically what the Rav is saying, that the quintessential bakasha of Rosh Hashanah, which is going to repeat itself in every single Shmoneh Esrei, is Elokeinu velokei avoseinu melech al kol ha'olam kulo bichvodecha. That's really the essential prayer of the day, that you should become the melech. And therefore Chazal did not want to change the nusach of this bakasha in the case of Musaf of Rosh Hashanah. The Chazal wanted to be consistent and basically copy and paste this bracha of Elokeinu velokei avoseinu so that it be uniform in all the tefillos, including the tefillah of Musaf.
Why couldn't they put Shema in every bracha? Given that it's
because again, I guess what the Rav is saying is that
it could have been in all Shema Esrei.
It could have been in all Shema Esrei, but what Chazal wanted to make the Musaf Bakasha unique and add a pasuk, whereas in other words, the concept of adding psukim is very unique to Musaf. We don't find psukim quoted anywhere else. So this Elokeinu velokei avoseinu, in any event, is the standard bakasha for all tefillos, all amidos of Rosh Hashanah. There are no psukim, and therefore, by introducing the pasuk Shema Yisrael, it would alter that systematic uniform nusach. So let's just again see it inside, and we'll read it inside. He says, "Ikar bakasha shel Malchus shove b'chol tefillos hayom." And therefore, they wanted the end of each tefillah to be identical, including the completion of the Musa, the Malchus of Musa. They need Shema Yisrael, so they're going to establish the Shema Yisrael after the nine psukim, but not because it's contiguous or it completes the Seder of the psukim that came before, because as we said before, the nine psukim that come in the middle section of Malchus and in Zechariah and Shofar as well belongs to the opening section, meaning the establishment of a theological belief. You know, we believe that God is the Melech. Nine psukim to prove it. The tenth pasuk is, God, you promised us that you will be the one God accepted, the sovereign rulership that will be accepted by the entire universe. We beg you to make that into a reality. That the theoretical Malchus should become a reality. And therefore, the next paragraph, you'll see that the Rav had this new minute, which I had never seen it anywhere. And he instructed the Chazan, after he finished the nine psukim, to change the niggin. Right? Because the niggin fellow, Kenevel Kevosenu, was different than the niggin for the first two sections of Malchus. And you and I might have thinking, so who cares one way or the other about the niggin? But for the Rav, the shift in niggin in the melody is proof positive that there's a shift in the theme or the motif of the bracha. We now come with a whole new concept, namely bakasha. So when we get up to the 10th pasuk, we should already be utilizing that niggin of bakasha. And that will achieve the goal of linking up the Shema Yisrael Shem Elokeinu with Elokeinu Elokeinu Seinu Melech Al Kol Ha'olam Bichvodecha. And he brings a proof from the Rav Yoh. The Rav Yoh is an Ashkenazic Rishon who writes that the Oso Pasuk, he's referring to the last Pasuk of Shofros, Utkatim B'Shofros, kavua b'tfila shehu divrei ritzui v'rachamim. That when it says utkatim b'chatzotzros, we blow the chatzotzros, that is part of ritzui. Okay? That means rachamim. We ask Hashem for rachamim. Mashma di afal pi the pasuk zeh edo maskir shofros. There's no mention of shofar here. The Torah in this pasuk only mentions chatzotzros, the trumpets. Shalachain yesh rishon shechlifu pasuk acher. So all the rishon just dropped this pasuk. They found it didn't pasuk. It mentioned shofar. Mikolakom. Nevertheless, according to the Rav Yah, and that's our minhag, it's considered ritzui and rachamim, and therefore can serve as the tenth pasuk, in which we're asking Hashem to blow the chatzotzros and reveal Himself at this point, and that fulfills the function of the tenth pasuk. Because again, what's the role of the tenth pasuk? Bakasha, ritzui, and therefore that pasuk belongs to shofars. So we see clearly from the Rav Yah that the tenth pasuk belongs to Bakosha and Bakosha's Rach. Ah, says the Rav, now we can answer our original question. Why does Rav Yochanan ben Nuri drop shofar after Malchus? Keep in mind that Rav Yochanan ben Nuri integrated Malchus into Kedushas Hashem, correct? And therefore, he's going to drop shofar. And we ask the question, why? The answer is, because shofar belongs to Bakasha. And at the end of this bracha, when we've expressed our Bakasha, because in each one of these three there's a Bakasha, right? The Elokeinu v'Elokei Aviseinu, now we're ready to strengthen that Bakasha by blowing the shofar. Rav Yochanan ben Nuri has a problem, because Malchus was integrated into Kiddush Hashem. Kiddush Hashem is part of that invincible, indivisible section which is called Shevach, and there's no room for Bakasha in the first three brachas. Is therefore, what does Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri do? He drops the shofar. Says Rabbi Akiva, if you're dropping the shofar, then you have to drop the tenth pasuk. Because what's the tenth pasuk and what's its function? Bakasha, correct? And there's no room for Bakasha in the Gibel Rishonos of Shevach. Is anybody following me? Okay. Every Shmon Esrei is made up of three parts. The first part is an indivisible body or unit of three brachos, the purpose of which is Shevach, to praise Hashem. So that's called Avos, Gvuros, and Kedushas Hashem, which culminates during the rest of the year with Hakel HaKodesh. Then we have the middle section, which is Bakasha. For example, on a weekday we have 13 Bakashas. And then we finally have the last three brachos, which is called Avoda. And that too is, you know, you can't, it's indivisible.
Beginning with Ritzeh.
So for example, if you want to add your own tefillah, you can only add it in the middle section, which is Bakasha, because otherwise it's a fish out of water. It's like a hefsek. It's a chatzitza, if you know what I mean. It just doesn't belong there. It's out of place. Now, Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri recited Malchus in Kiddushas Hashem. Kiddushas Hashem, HaMelech HaKadosh, is the third of Birchas HaShevach, of the first section. There's no room here for Bakasha. If there's no room for Bakasha, says Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, you have to drop the shofar. Because the whole purpose of the shofar is Bakasha. There's Bakasha verbally, in words, and then there's Bakasha Bikol Shofar. That's inappropriate for Malchus, insofar as Malchus is part of the framework of the first three brachos, which are indivisible and are brachos of Shevach and have no room for Bakasha. Says Rabbi Akiva, you should have gone a step further. Just like you're dropping Shofar, you should also drop the tenth pasuk. Because the tenth pasuk, as opposed to the first nine, belongs to the third section, which is Bakasha. And we ask Hashem to become one God, accepted universally by all of mankind at the time of Bias HaMashiach. We can't allow ourselves that luxury to introduce the 10th Pasuk into Kedushas Hashem. Because Kedushas Hashem is one of the first three, and that's an indivisible unit of Sheva. So on the one hand, the Gemara says in Masechta Rosh Hashanah Lamed Daled Amud Beis, Imru Lefanei Malchius Ubameh Kedesh Tamlchuni Aleichem. So we're accepting the sovereign rulership of God upon us, the yoke of heaven, and Bameh, and with what? With a shofar. So in other words, immediately after Malchius, we should be blowing the shofar. But we can't blow the shofar according to Rabbi Yochanan and Nuri because Malchus is integrated into Kedushas Hayom, in Kedushas Hashem, excuse me. Says Rabbi Akiva, you know what? Let's integrate Malchus into Kedushas Hayom. The Kedushas Hayom is an appropriate place for Malchus because it ends up with the Bakosha Elokeinu v'Elokei Avoseinu. That's the zenith, the pinnacle of Kedushas Hayom, in which we ask Hashem to be the Melech al Kol HaOlam, and now we're ready to blow shofar and to recite the 10th pasuk Hashem Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Hinei Birchas Kedushas Hayom Shoshana Kol Ikra Hi Malchus. The essence of Kedushas Hayom is Malchus, because otherwise we wouldn't be able to understand how Malchios and any mention of Malchus of Hashem could be integrated into the Kedushas Hayom. It would be a foreign element. You know, we can't introduce two different elements. Every bracha has its own single theme or motif. So the motif of Kedushas Hayom, if it's Malchus, means that the Kedushas Hayom is Malchus. What is the sanctity of the day of Rosh Hashanah? Rosh Hashanah is the most abstract day in the entire calendar year. I mean, even Yom Kippur is not so abstract. I mean, it's tshuva, it's kapara lefnei Hashem, titaru. What's the essence of the sanctity? What's unique about Rosh Hashanah? The answer is that Hashem is the Melech. And therefore, it makes sense that the bracha of Kedushas Hayom, in its completion, when we complete it, is Melech al kol ha'aretz, mekadesh Yisrael v'yom hazikaron. Kvar bir maran agrach zatzal, that's Rav Chaim Brisker. The Ein Zeh Chazim v'Shtayim, we don't have such a thing as a twofold a double thematic bracha. You know, we're very stingy. Every bracha gets one theme. We don't give two themes. So how can you recite a bracha? Baruch Ato Hashem, Melech al kol ha'aretz, mekadesh Yisrael v'yom hazikaron. I mean, you're talking about the Kedushas Hayom and you're talking about Malchus in one breath. It makes no sense. Says Rav Chaim Ella, we must conclude from this that the Kedushas Hayom of Rosh Hashanah is Malchus. And therefore, Rav Chaim used to argue with the Chai Adam. The Chai Adam says that if you forgot to say Melech al Kol Haaretz, you don't have to repeat Shmon Esrei. And Rav Chaim was absolutely opposed to this psak of the Chai Adam. What are you explaining? You explain the Chai Adam or Rav Chaim? The Chai Adam felt that since the essence of the brach is Kedushas Hayom, and you said Mekadesh Yisrael V'yom HaZikaron, b'di'evan you were yotze. Because he did mention the Kedushas Hayom. Rav Chaim says, no, you did not mention the Kedushas Hayom. Unless you add the words Melech al Kol Haaretz, you haven't mentioned the Kedushas Hayom. In fact, Rav Chaim is the paskin that if a person recites Kiddush on the night of Rosh Hashanah and he says Baruch Ato Hashem Mekadesh Yisrael V'yom HaZikaron, he's going to have to recite Kiddush all over again because he left out the key words that define the Kedushas Hayom, namely Melech Al Kol Haaretz. Is Memela according to Rabbi Akiva that we integrate Malchus, and that's our minhag, into Kedushas Hayom, which is a perfect analogy and equation because that is the Kedushas Hayom, it's Malchus, it makes sense that we could quote the 10th Pasuk of Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad in the Kedushas Hayom because we're asking Hashem to become the Melech and then the Kedushas Hayom of Rosh Hashanah will be absolutely complete. And now we can blow the shofar after Malchus because we've completed Malchus with this Bakosha that Hashem, you should become the Melech Al Kol Haaretz. And the reality of God being accepted as the King should reach its pinnacle, and now we're ready to blow the shofar. So let's just summarize. What we have here is, at least from Rabbi Akiva's point of view, a double machlokes between Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri and Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, by integrating Malchus into Kedushas Hashem, he's got to make two changes. Number one, he has to drop the 10th Pasuk. And number two, he has to drop Shofar. Why? Because both the 10th Pasuk and the blowing of the Shofar belong to Bakasha. And there's no room for Bakasha within the framework of the first three brachos, the last of which is Kedushas Hashem.
Question about that. isn't the lashon of ruchen tein pachtecha the lashon of bakasha as well? According to Rabbi Akiva, according to Rabbi Yochanan Nuri, it would fit. You can do it, right? According to Rabbi Akiva, if this that seems also lashon of bakasha, we're saying God, meloch aleinu kol ara, right? He's put that into the first. There was a bakasha element in the first three sukkim anyways.
Correct. In other words, our minog seems to reflect in a very complex way both Yochanan ben Nuri and Rabbi Akiva, because our minog is to integrate Malchus into Kedushas Hayom like Rabbi Akiva, because we don't want to have the Bakasha element integrated into Kedushas Hashem.
We do it anyway.
But on the other hand, we do it anyway.
So that's a pshara, maybe.
Let me just think if I could give a better answer. I mean, I may be even making your question even stronger, but sometimes you have a second question that helps you with the first. In the Shmone Esrei for Aser Simei Tshuva, we say Zochreinu L'chaim, Melech HaVetz L'chaim, Kosvei V'Sei Frachai L'manichu L'kim Chaim. And that's also a Bakosha.
That's true.
And yet that's introduced into the second bracha, which is called Gvuros. Am I correct?
Yep.
So how do we have the right to introduce a bakasha into Gvuros when Gvuros is one of the big three, the first three, which is Shemach? So perhaps we could say, and maybe this is going to be the subject of Machlok Shin Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yochanan Nuri, that at least according to Rabbi Yochanan Nuri, what we're saying is that the distance between Hashem as a melech theoretically and Hashem as a melech in reality is Shemach. That itself is Shemach. Meaning, when we declare in front of Hashem that we want you to be the melech, on the one hand that is Bakasha, but it also is Shemach. But the truth is, I'm stuck in a bind here, because Rabbi Yochanan Nuri himself admits that we can't blow shofar after Malchus, because we've integrated Malchus into the Kedushas Hashem. So on the one hand, so my approach is not going to really satisfy the problem, because since Rabbi Yochanan Nuri admits that there's no room for Bakasha in the first three, and therefore he drops shofar.
There's a certain beauty, though, in the
so
self.
How can we have
so here's a possible although I can't formulate it better, but there's a certain selflessness in the bakasha of Meloch Aleinu. We're not doing it. There's two aspects you can look at. One is that we want the benefits of God, and the other is that it's irrelevant to what we want. We want God to rule over us because of God's glory, not because
correct.
Of our desires. So that might not be really a bakasha, as opposed to...
In other words, when we say, ubechein tein pachtuch, ubechein tein kovr, chein tzadik yivir smachu, that's lamancha, that's for your glory.
Yeah, if we're not but when we, for ourselves. I mean,
but when we say in Malchus, Elokeinu velokeinu v'seinu melocha kol ha'ulam kula bechvodecha, so that's already our yearning and our desire.
Yes,
because we want to live in a world of truth and not in a world of falsehood, in a world of goodness and not in a world of evil.
No, we're not in a world where the UN exists.
Right, yeah. Correct. So we're saying, V'yomar kol Hashem neshama v'apo, Hashem elokei Yisrael melech. Maybe that's the world that we want to live in. And then again, we go ahead and we say, Kadshenu v'sosecho v'senchalkein v'sosecho. These are all heartfelt bakashos to fulfill the needs that we long for and aspire for. Entirely beinu avtecha v'emes. So what we're saying here is that maybe when we declare, or I should say, we yearn for Malchus Hashem, we ask for Malchus Hashem to become a reality, it comes under two different categories, a kind of a tzvei din. You know, maybe part of it is l'man chalakim chaim, as I call it, and the other is so that we can enjoy a world in which we can function and we can serve Hashem together with the entire universe. Okay, let's see if we can wrap this up. We're on the last paragraph on page Mem Zayin, and we're about to turn to Mem Ches. He says, Lefi Zeh, I can understand Rabbi Akiva, that if you, Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, are dropping Tekiah, because you've integrated Malchus and Kedushas Hashem, then you should likewise drop the 10th Pasuk, and the language of Rabbi Akiva is Hoel V'ishtenei, since you've already made that change, meaning you've already confess that we have to drop Shofar because Shofar is Bakosh and it has no place in Kedushas Hashem, let's also drop the 10th Pasuk. Because the 10th Pasuk is different than the first 9 Pasukim. It doesn't, the 10th Pasuk doesn't belong to the section of Rayos to establish the principle, but rather it's to the section of Bakosh, the 3rd section. And that Bakosha would be either a bakasha as we have it, or through the shofar, and both integrate into one entity of bakasha, whether it's the Elokeinu Elokei Avoseinu that we recite verbally, or the shofar that we blow. This is interesting. The Rav wants to prove, you know, he's been saying that shofar, blowing the shofar, is bakasha, right? It belongs to tefillah. How does he know such a thing? I mean, let me be a baldin and come and argue and dispute. So he proves it from the Gemara that says that a shofar should be kafuf. A shofar should be bent. Right? There's a Ya'el, for example, has a straight shofar, but we use a ram's one that's bent. So Rashi explains, why do we want to use a bent shofar? And Rashi explains, because when a person stands in tefillah in front of the Ribbono Shel Olam, he should bend himself. That's more appropriate, a humble state of bakasha and za'aka, when we cry out. So the shofar itself as a physical entity should reflect that posture which is appropriate for bakasha and za'aka, namely bent. It should be bent over. And why should the shofar reflect in its physical material state the shape of tefillah? The answer is because the shofar itself serves the purpose of tefillah. And we can see that also from the chasima of Birchas Shofros. At the end of shofar we say, Baruch Atah Hashem Shomea Kol Truas Amo Yisrael Barachamim. You hearken to the sound of the shofar. And that word Shomea is typical of tefillah, right? That's why we end the middle section of Bakosha with Baruch Atah Hashem Shomea Tefillah. Here is Shomea Kol Truas Amcha Yisrael Barachamim. It's also receiving or accepting the Bakosha of the shofar. Right? And that reminds us of the famous mushal, I don't know if it was the Baal Shem Tov's mushal, of the shepherd boy, right? That he comes and he says to God, look, I don't know how to daven, but I'm going to blow my flute, and you make the sounds into the bakashas that I want to ask you for, you know, because God knows what I need, all my needs. So the shofar is, we can't express all our needs verbally with the intellect, so we ask Hashem to take the kol shofar and formulate all our prayers and our needs. He says, Asher al kein, and therefore even Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, who establishes that we should integrate Malchus with Kedushas Hashem, we cannot blow the shofar at the end of the Kedushas Hashem, because then we'd be introducing a foreign element of Bakasha into that third bracha, which is purely Sheva. Because there's no room for Bakasha in the Gimel Rishonos. Comes along Rabbi Akiva, he says, if that be the case, you have no right, Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, to recite the 10th Pasuk, which also belongs to the Bakasha section. And therefore we should say, Hoil the Ishtene, once it was changed, meaning you had to alter the service by omitting the shofar blowing, we have to make the second alteration and leave out the tenth Pasuk. The only thing I'm confused about is that the last section of Malchus is Elokeinu v'Elokei Avoseinu Meloch al kol ha'ulam kulo b'chodecha, correct? So that itself is bakasha. Did Rabbi Akiva object to Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri's position because we should omit this last section from Kedushas Hashem, because this last section is clearly bakasha, especially in the light of what we said before, that it's not like the same thing pachlecha, which is lamancha. Here it's malocha kol ulam, so that we can live in a world that's a world of truth and not a world of evil. Then that becomes bakasha. Why doesn't Rabbi Akiva stand up and argue against Rabbi Yochanan and Nuri? Hey, we have no right to complete our malchus with Elokeinu v'Elokei Avoseinu. And I think the answer to that is that Elokeinu v'Elokei Avoseinu is probably...
He talks about that in the last, the Rav talks about that. I think.
Oh, okay, so let me just try to anticipate. You know, I want to anticipate what the Rav is going to say, and we'll see if I'm right. That this paragraph, Elokeinu v'Elokei Avoseinu, according to Rabbi Yochanan and Nuri, will be left out of Kedushas Hashem. It will be integrated in Kedushas Hayom, because as we said before, the Kedushas Hayom, the sanctity of the day, is identical with Malchus Shamayim. So it makes sense that we should ask for Malchus Shamayim to become a reality in the Kedushas Hayom. Let's see if I was right. V'nira od v'taymi the Rabbi Yochanan and Nuri shetokim rak achar bracha haravias the Kedushas Hayom. Interesting. We, you know, the Mishnah tells us that Rabbi Yochanan Nuri confesses that we have to leave out the shofar at the end of Malchus. So, does that mean that the shofar of Malchus is completely wiped off the map? We only have...
He puts it at the end of Kedushas Hayom.
Correct. Rabbi Yochanan Nuri is not denying that there's going to be three shofar blowings. One for Zichronos, one for Shofros. Where's the third? It cannot be after Malchus, because that's in Kedushas Hashem. It will be after the Kedushas Hayom. V'loli achar abrocha shlish kedush Hashem. Demasher Rabbi Yochanan Nuri kolel malchus kedush Hashem hu mitam. Oh, interesting. Why does Rabbi Yochanan Nuri insist that we should integrate the bracha of malchus into kedush Hashem? Why not accept Rabbi Akiva's view and introduce the kedushas hayom hu mitam? The svir le diyesh lahazkir malchios b'makom arishon sheyuchal. Right, we have a principle called Ein Mavirin Al Mitzvos. So it's the first opportune moment. Now, Kedushas Hashem is the first opportune moment because it comes before Kedushas Hayom. When we came into Rosh Hashanah v'Brocha Shlishis Misaimim HaMelech HaKadosh, so we're already declaring God as the King, right? And that's unique to the Aser Simei Tshuva, because the rest of the year we say HaKel HaKadosh. Only during Aser Simei Tshuva do we say HaMelech HaKadosh in Kedushas Hashem. But now we have to declare God as the King. Harei Kvar, already at that moment, we should recite Malchus. Why wait until the Kedushas Hayom, when the Shem itself is HaMelech HaKadosh? That's the name of God during this period of time. He is the Melech. In other words, there's a certain dimension of God's kingship which is lacking the rest of the year and comes to the fore during this time and expresses itself on Rosh Hashanah and the 10 days of Tshuva. So that's why we say HaMelech HaKadosh. L'chein Sfirle D'yesh Lomar Kol Inyoni Malchus Tekef Umiyad. We shouldn't delay, because Eim Avir Nal Mitzvah is B'Kedush Hashem. And maybe when the Rav says Kol Inyoni Malchus, he's referring also to the Bakosh of Elokeinu v'Elokei Avoseinu, which is the standard nusach, as we said before, for the completion of Kedushas Hayom. Rabbi Yochanan Nuri is going to take it and introduce it, inject it into the Kedushas Hashem, because that's the first opportune moment when we say HaMelech HaKadosh. But the only thing is, if that be the case, why don't we do this in every Shmona Esrei? Why do you wait for the Musaf service? Meaning, this section of Elokeinu v'Elokei Avoseinu, which is a bakasha for Malchus Hashem, which closes every single Shmona Esrei throughout the entire day, that means Ma'ariv, Shacharis, and Mincha, as well as Musaf, that section should also be introduced at the earliest possible moment, which would be when we mention that Hashem is a Melech, which is Kedushas Hashem. Obviously we can't do that, we don't have the luxury to do that, because Kedushas Hashem belongs to Gimel Rishonos, and there's no room for Bakasha. So how are we going to do it in Musaf? L'chein Tzvir L'di Yeshlomer Kol and Yoni Malchus Tekef Umiyad B'Kedushas Hashem. And I think when he says Kol and Yoni Malchus, he includes this paragraph which closes Malchus, in which we beseech God to become the Melech Al Kol Ha'aretz. So how can we do that in the three brachas or rishonos? Achein afal pi she'ein hu kolel Asara, he doesn't have the 10th pasuk of Malchios. Im habracha haravis shel kedushas hayom. Ah. In other words, if he's integrating shofar into the kedushas hayom, why doesn't he take the 10th pasuk Shema Yisrael and integrate it into kedushas hayom? Mikomakom es hatkios dochem adliach kedushas hayom. Shrei gam Rabbi Yochanan Duri mode sheyesh lahazkir malchus Hashem. Bechasimas birchas kedushas hayom brachat Hashem melech al kol haaretz mekadesh tov yom zikaron, and therefore it can be appropriate to blow shofar at that point, because we're already saying that we want Hashem to be the melech al kol haaretz. Dinyan malchus Hashem who mi'etzem kedushas hayom shel Rosh Hashanah. The kevan shatkios boim basof called brachos liachah amiris in yonim shalos of brachon. We've already said that Hashem should become the melech al kol haaretz. Now it's appropriate to blow shofar. Gamler of Yochanan ben Nuri dochim atkios shal malchus adli achar habracha chrona hosekis b'malchus kedei litzarif atkios lechol azkaras malchios. So in other words, the bakasha of elokeinu v'elokeinu v'seinu is not foreign to the kedushas hayom, because the Kedushas Hayom is Malchus of Hashem, so we could ask Hashem that that Malchus, which is now in potential form, should become actualized, should become a reality. But yet, the 10th Pasuk of Malchios cannot be shifted to the Kedushas Hayom. And why is that so? I don't understand. So I'm left with two questions, just to summarize. I mean, the whole structure here is absolutely magnificent, but I'm left with two questions. I don't understand if Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri is insisting by integrating Malchus into Kedushas Hayom, that since we're in the Gimel Rishonos, we don't have the luxury of introducing at this point Bakosha, therefore we have to leave out the 10th Pasuk, which is Bakosha, and we have to leave out Shofros. Why do we introduce Shofros into Kedushas Hayom, but not the 10th Pasuk? That I don't follow.
Malchios, not Shofros.
I meant to say Malchios. Why do we introduce Malchios and integrate it into Kedushas Hayom? I'm sorry. The bracha of Elokeinu v'Elokeinu, The shofar itself, I said shofros, what I meant was shofar. I'm sorry. I'm getting myself a little tongue twisted. The shofar itself will be introduced into the Kedushas Hayom. And the Rav said that's not a problem, because the Kedushas Hayom is Melech, and we're asking Hashem to become the Melech. Let's coronate the king by blowing the shofar. Is that what he's saying? Let's just read it again. He says, Mikomakom esat kios dochim adliach Kedushas Hayom. Why? Shrei gamler Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri mode sheyesh laazkir malchus Hashem b'chasimas birchas Kedushas Hayom.
It seems that Yochanan ben Nuri is splitting, would rather split Malchios into two than Ma'avir and Al-Mitzvah, and Rabbi Akiva wants to keep Malchios together so it all goes in Kedushas Hayom.
But when you say into two, you mean because the shofar is in Kedushas Hayom?
There's two parts of Malchios.
But what's the second part? The shofar blowing?
That's part of the Bakasha of Baruch Aleinu, and that goes in Kedushas Hayom.
So is Rabbi Yochanan Nuri going to shift the entire paragraph
Rabbi Akiva shifts everything to Kedushas Hayom because he doesn't want to put any part of Bakasha in Kedushas.
Right.
To Kedushat Hashem, he puts everything in Kedushat Hayom.
Right. Because he wants to avoid Bakosh and Kedushat Hashem.
Yeah.
Bakosh and Kedushat Hashem is an alien,
it's
foreign
element. It's alien to him. Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri would rather not Mavir and all of it, so he puts most of it in Birchat Hashem, and part of it, which is maybe the 10th Pasuk, and at least the blowing of the shofar, he puts that in Kedushat Hayom, which where Bakasha is appropriate.
Okay, but I don't understand two things. Number one, I don't understand why is Rabbi Yochanan Nuri okay with blowing the shofar in Kedushas Hayom, but he doesn't have the 10th pasuk in the Kedushas Hayom. That's what the Rav says. Okay, that's one question. But what bothers me even more is we have three sections to Malchus, the third of which is Bakosh, and that's introduced by Elokeinu v'Elokeinu v'Seinu Melocha Kol Haom Kuvu V'Vedecha. If Rabbi Yochanan Nuri admits that the shofar has to be shifted, and has to be postponed because shofar would be a foreign element to Kedush Hashem, then why is that third section, I call it Rabbi Numeral number 3, which is Barkashel, Kenel Kebesenu, why isn't Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri going to shift that into Kedushas Hayom? Why is he willing to tolerate, to accept it in the Kedushas Hashem? That I don't understand. So those are my two questions. Okay, but let's just summarize what we do understand. What we do understand is why Rabbi Akiva believes that Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri should be consistent and drop the 10th pasuk. Wait, just give me one second, Ira. I just want to make sure I understand this. That Rabbi Akiva's argument against Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri is that you should be consistent to the same extent you have to drop the shofar from Kedushas Hashem, because although you recited Malchus, but the Bakasha element is foreign to the first three brachas, the third of which is Kedushas Hashem, then by that same token, the 10th pasuk is completely foreign to the Kedushas Hashem, because that too serves the function of Bakasha. And that's why Rabbi Akiva objects to Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, because Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, you're going to have to take the shofar and rip it away from Malchus. And the Gemara says, that the Malchus reaches its pinnacle with the shofar blowing. To postpone the shofar blowing till Kiddush Sayom, that's not the way we should do it. And then there's another thing we understand. What motivated, what pushed Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri to introduce Malchus and Kiddush Sashem? And the answer is, because the Kedushas Hashem during this period of time is Malchus, instead of Akel HaKadosh, it's HaMelech HaKadosh. Oh, if it's HaMelech HaKadosh, now already we have an opportune moment to declare Hashem as Melech. We're gonna, and the third thing that we understand, which I, in my opinion, this is the really breakthrough, the magnificent structure, is that each one of these tefillos, Malchus, Aron, and Sos, respectively, is made up of three sections. The third section of which is Bakasha, and the 10th pasuk belongs to that third section. Why, in the case of Malchus, was the pasuk Shema Yisrael predates the Elokeinu v'Akel v'Aseinu? That he says because they wanted to maintain a certain uniform matbea shel bracha that applies to all the Shemona Esrei, all the tefillos of Rosh Hashanah, Elokeinu v'Akel v'Aseinu, without introducing that pasuk. Okay, then, Rabosai? We'll stop here. Sure. Thanks so much.
Sure.
Okay? This is a piece of work. I mean, I'm telling you.
The Rebbe had was a philosopher. I used to go to a shiur in Boston. I didn't understand most of the things he said anyways.
That was the Motzei Shabbos philosophy?
No, on Sunday morning.
Sunday morning was philosophy?
I don't know. Whatever he talked, it was...
No, I thought that was the Blanche. Okay.
Whatever he was. The only person who understood him was Michelson. Because Mackinson was brilliant.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. How you-